Agencies now have 30 days to sprint to new cybersecurity standards after multiple data breaches at the Office of Personnel Management, but some chief information security officers say they're more concerned about what impact a cyber attack will have in their organization's reputation than the data itself that's at risk. That's according to new work from the RAND Corporation, The Defender's Dilemma, Charting a Course Toward Cybersecurity. Martin Lubicki is senior management scientist and professor at the Pardee RAND Graduate School and a co-author of the report. Martin, it's great to talk to you again. Thanks for coming back on the program. Who did you talk to find the data that you got, and what questions did you ask them? Thanks for coming on today.
And thank you for having me. We talked to a variety of CISOs, some of them in the service business, some in telecommunications, some in government, a relatively broad spectrum. The kind of questions we asked them was also fairly broad-ranging, because one of the things we were trying to do is determine what are the factors that influence some of their decisions. So we started with a basic one, like why do you practice cybersecurity? What is important in avoiding a cyber attack? And then from there, we moved to more particular questions, such as their use of insurance, their attitude towards workers bringing in devices into the workplace, their attitude towards air gapping, their optimism about the future of cybersecurity. We had started with the presumption that a lot of CISOs were pessimistic about their prospects, and we found a lot of pessimism, but as a result, we're going to be looking for some very radical solutions. We didn't find that, okay? I think that the CISOs we talked to were still trying to make sense out of the options that they had, trying to make sense out of the cybersecurity products that they were looking at. And I think for the time being, they're going to be looking at those solutions to try to figure out which of these solutions give them an edge against the hackers.
What were some of the common responses that you got, whether they surprised you or not? We'll talk about the surprises and the confirmations in a moment. But what were some of the most common threads in the responses that you got, Martin?
There was a great deal of skepticism everywhere, and there was a lot of variation in responses. Some folks were ready to embrace the cloud. Some of them were actually stealing cloud services. Some of them were interested in insurance. A lot of them were not interested in insurance. Some of them had a more laissez-faire attitude towards devices. Others of them put some very strict software on the devices. So there was a great deal of diversity. This is not a group that's walking in lockstep.
Was that in and of itself surprising, or did you expect there to be a bit more consensus on what their responses would be?
Well, you know, any analyst loves a consensus, particularly one that isn't reported in the media. But the fact is, we tried to record their responses for what they were. And what we found is a large diversity.
You found a couple that confirmed things that you suspected or knew before. Security postures are highly specific to different kinds of organizations. Quarantining certain parts of an organization offline can help. Responding to a desire of employees to bring their own devices creates growing dilemmas. And CISOs feel that attackers have the upper hand and will continue to have it. What were some of the things that you thought would be the case and turned out to be the case based on the work that you did?
Those are pretty much, I mean, the diversity, the fact that they were struggling. One of the things that was underlined for us was their belief that human-centric solutions, in other words, solutions associated with making users more aware, with making administrators more aware, was a very important part of their portfolio. A certain amount of skepticism on cybersecurity tools. And one thing that they didn't say, but I think you can refer from their responses, was that there really isn't a good knowledge base that a CISO can turn to and say, this works and this doesn't. A lot of knowledge has been built in cybersecurity, but is in a sense of the belt and suspenders type, right? Mm-hmm. Here are the 30 things you should do. Now go out and do them. And they're going to look at their budgets and they say, I can't afford all of these. What's the most important one? And that's the kind of guidance they don't have. I think there is a strong need for a cybersecurity science, or at least a body of knowledge that people can refer to. And it's not there. And it might be something that the federal government can usefully promote.
You write in this work that cyber insurance offerings are regarded as more of a pain than they are helpful. What were the reasons that they gave you for that?
The general reasons were twofold. One is that they have low maximums and high minimums. So you weren't going to collect very often. And if something really extraordinary happened, you probably don't have enough insurance for it. The other factor is the cyber insurance business is a very uncertain business. If I'm in the hurricane business or I'm in the fire business, I have a lot of statistical background to fall back on. How often are fires? How often are floods? How often are hurricanes? And while global climate change may alter the numbers, they won't alter them very fast. When you talk about cybersecurity, pretty much everything becomes a surprise. I didn't know they could do this, and I didn't know they could do that. That makes things very difficult for underwriters. And I believe as a result, they have a natural tendency to be conservative in their insurance policies, which is to say, not put too much on the line and charge a lot for it.
Martin Libicki of the Pardee Rand Graduate School is one of the co-authors of The Defender's Dilemma, Charting a Course Toward Cybersecurity with his colleagues Lillian Ablon and Tim Webb. And you can read more about that, the new work, at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. You write in the abstract of this, know what needs protecting and how badly protection is needed as one of your recommendations. And this is, I think, particularly interesting. It was striking how frequently reputation was cited by CISOs as a prime cause for cybersecurity spending as opposed to protecting actual intellectual property. I understand the motivation there, and I wonder if, as long as the spending happens in a way that enhances the cybersecurity of an organization, if the reputational factor versus the operational factor really matters one way or the other.
Well, let me give you an example. Last year, J.P. Morgan Chase was hacked. Do you regard this as a glass half empty or a glass half full? Okay, on the one hand, 86 million records were taken, and it turns out that the hackers were in the system for several months. On the other hand, you start listing all the things that didn't happen. Okay, there were no disruptions, no known transfers of money, no compromise of personally identifiable information or of financial records. Okay, but if you didn't know better, you'd say, oh my God, bad J.P. Morgan Chase. If you did know better, you'd say, you know, these guys really did have a defense in depth system. Now, let me go to the next point. If you're really worried about reputation and don't attend to the fundamentals, you want to keep yourself out of the headlines. So if I've got a dollar to put on what I would say surface cyber protection versus a dollar on deep cyber protection, an overemphasis on reputation is going to go into the surface, protecting the surface and not protecting the depth. Whereas for the continuity of your business and for the kind of relationships you need from one day to the next, you have to think about the protection in depth.
Knowing what needs protecting, as I mentioned, was the first of four recommendations that I see here. Second is know where to devote effort to protect the organization. The third is to consider the potential for adversaries to employ countermeasures. Sounds like you're suggesting that thinking one step ahead, kind of playing a game of chess rather than checkers, is what's really important, Martin.
Yes, that's quite true, and maybe two or three steps ahead. One of the reasons we put our first recommendation first is because it's important to understand what your losses are if you get a cyber attack. Take a look at the OPM instance, right? In theory, that shouldn't have had a high level of protection because none of it was classified. In practice, it was extremely sensitive information. And if OPM had thought through the consequences of the kind of leakage that they had, I have to believe they would have done things differently. I have to believe they would have had a lot more restrictions on the circulation of their information. And I think that sort of thing comes through not understanding what you have and not understanding the consequences of a cyber attack.
The fourth recommendation that you have is government efforts aren't high on the list of CISOs, but governments should be prepared to play a role. What's the appropriate role in your view, and what's the best way to execute that role?
I think the appropriate role for government is to build a knowledge base that allows people to protect themselves. So that's going to be a combination of R&D. It's going to be a combination of standards understood in the advisory sense and sometimes mandatory, although we really didn't talk to any power companies, for instance. There is a tendency sometimes to believe that cybersecurity is a national defense issue, that we need to build up our Department of Defense so as to come to the rescue of our corporations when they're hit by cyber attack. But if you look at cyber attack from the perspective of these organizations, that's not what they're thinking. They understand that the responsibility for cyber defense is on their shoulders, and I think they want a helping hand. I think they want information. I think they could use guidance. I don't necessarily think they need the heavy hand of protection.